Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. And joining me for this week's discussion is the manager of Workplace Relations Services and Everybody's Secret Santa, Tim Nagel. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Stuart. Good to be here.
Tim, we're going to mix it up a little bit. Normally, we would reveal the clue at this point, but we're going to do something a little bit different because today is no ordinary podcast.
No, it's our last podcast of 2018, and I must say, it's hard not to notice the golden dinosaur.
So this golden dinosaur here is the trophy for this year's winners of the 2018 VHA podcast quiz.
And we're announcing the winners today?
We are indeed. But let's catch up for a moment as to last year's trophy.
Well, people may remember last year's winner was a spectacular golden gnome.
And who wouldn't be proud to own one of those?
And it's fair to say that ever since last year, the gnome has gone on to bigger and bigger things.
Bigger and better things, Tim. And by that, we don't mean that it's simply a turn of phrase. Here's a recent picture of last year's trophy down on the Mornington Peninsula.
It makes you wonder what will happen to this year's trophy.
So that sounds like quite a neat segue. Tim, would you do the honours and open the envelope?
I will do.
Could you announce for us the winner for the Metro region?
And this year's Metro winner is Nikki from Eastern Health.
Congratulations, Nikki. This golden dinosaur will be on its way to you.
Congratulations.
How about the rural and regional members?
This year's regional rural winner is Kelly from Seymour Health.
So I think that's a first-time win for Seymour Health. Congratulations, Kelly.
Congratulations, Kelly.
And for our community health members.
This year's winner is Tegan from Primary Care Connect.
Congratulations, Tegan, with a score out of 21 out of 22, which is an excellent, excellent score. So congratulations to all of our winners. You will be receiving the Golden Dinosaur with the name of your health service or community health centre stuck on with a DIMO labeler. And we look forward to doing that all again next year. But that does bring us, I think, quite neatly to today's clue. Tim, would you do the honours and reveal the clue for today's discussion? So I think you may need to hold that one up there. So for the benefit of those people who are listening to this podcast rather than watching, could you describe the object?
It's a Christmas jumper with Run DMC on the front.
And a reference, of course, to their classic 1988 Christmas Carol, perhaps one of the greatest rap Christmas carols of all time, Christmas in Hollis.
Mm.
And on the basis of that particular clue, what would you say that the subject for today's discussion is?
Today's topic is clearly cold weather allowances.
Cold weather allowances. Yeah, Tim, even by your standards, that is profoundly disappointing. Today's subject for discussion, of course, is Christmas.
Oh, yes.
But I think we can't just have that jumper sitting there. One of us needs to put it on, and I think that someone should be you.
So now that we're in costume, as everyone wraps up for the year, the working year, the focus moves on towards the end of year Christmas celebrations.
And without doubt, Christmas can be a wonderful time for employees.
But for employers, it can also bring Christmas hangovers.
Yes, I think we've all seen our fair share of Christmas parties that have gone off the rails. There's always one person at a party who, given access to an unlimited bar, treats that as a personal challenge.
So alcohol is obviously a contributing factor sometimes?
Almost always. And behaviour at Christmas parties can result in breaches of employers' policies, their code of conduct, ORGNS, or bullying and harassment policies. So important that the employer sets the rules.
And so often employers forget that the code of conduct or the behavioural policies apply to them within that context?
I think that's a really great point. It's important to stress that even though the normal work environment has been altered, that the policies of the employer have not been changed as a result.
So it shouldn't come as a big surprise to employees that these policies exist or that they are expected to conduct themselves in a certain way when attending a corporate function. So there, obviously, clear communication is a key in seeing that expectation.
Absolutely. Ensuring that all employees are aware that the normal rules apply, that their obligations are what their obligations are before the event. And it would be wise for employers to remind staff via a memo, for example, and perhaps circulate the links to the relevant policies and procedures.
And that's all about getting that message out there, isn't it, that those policies continue to apply so it's front of mind for people?
That's right. So today we'll talk about a Fair Work Commission decision that reinforces the employer's obligation to ensure that the health and safety of its employees during any work function. Failing to meet these obligations may expose the employer to liability for the actions of the employee. So we have a case reference here.
And a perfect example is that case, which is Keenan versus Light and Borrell Ami, New South Wales, PTY LTD.
So we've got the reference there on the bottom of the screen, and it's an unfair dismissal case.
It is the decision found the dismissal to be unfair.
So, Tim, what was the applicant in that matter accused of?
So the allegations include multiple claims of misconduct, including the sexual harassment and swearing at senior management.
So in a circumstance where those kinds of actions, if substantiated, would certainly generally constitute a valid reason for termination, this is an interesting decision. What went wrong for the employer?
So from an employer perspective, there were some procedural issues just in relation to how the allegations were put to the employee during the investigation.
So I understand that the employer didn't put all of the allegations to the applicant. So lesson one, always ensure that the employee is provided with all the allegations.
And the other thing that the decision was critical of was that the employer did not take reasonable steps to monitor the employee's consumption of alcohol, nor did it clearly communicate the standard of behaviour expected.
So lesson two, be clear with staff about the standard of behaviour that's expected and be prepared to intervene.
And don't supply employees with unlimited alcohol.
That would seem to be an inescapable lesson.
However, where the employer does offer an unlimited bar tab, it should focus on the responsible service of alcohol to mitigate the risk of the employee getting overly intoxicated.
So some practical examples may include appointing a designated manager or supervisor to remain sober in order to oversee the event and monitor alcohol consumption of staff.
So which brings us to another case, the decision in Sione Vay versus Aldi Stores of 2018.
So is that another work function case?
Yes, it is. The applicant was summarily dismissed after he threw a glass of alcohol at another employee at their Christmas party.
So just don't want to go on the record and say that throwing a glass is not the responsible service of alcohol. Far from it.
No, it was alleged that the applicant was responding to the bar staff, cutting him off from alcohol and calling him a coconut man.
I was with you right up until Coconut Man came into the equation. I also understand that there was a claim of preloading, not just of alcohol, but of carver.
Yes.
So what happened?
So Fair Work Commission ultimately held that the dismissal was fair, as Aldi was able to demonstrate that reasonable steps had been taken in preventing the actions of that particular employee, including limiting the amount of alcohol consumption, reinforcing code of conduct before the event, and hiring security guards to oversee the function.
I think there's always a message for employees when security guards turn up. So this case reinforces the importance of that communication, the communication of the organisation's code of conduct, including for events that are outside the workplace. The responsible of service of alcohol is obviously paramount, and there is a clear duty of care on behalf of the employees to ensure that their staff are safe.
Yes. So to summarise the learnings from each of these cases, what would you say are the key considerations for employers?
So lesson number one, the employer should notify the employees of the code of conduct and policies of the organisation in relation to equal opportunity, sexual harassment, bullying and workplace health and safety. And this is to ensure that workplace standards are adhered to at the event.
Yes. So number two, take reasonable steps to ensure alcohol is served responsibly. Whilst employees organising the event must take reasonable steps to maintain appropriate standards of safety, the employees must also act within reasonable bounds, which is the Aldi decision versus the Keenan decision.
Number three, set a designated finish time. This is to ensure that a reasonable period of alcohol consumption and to distinguish when the event is in the course of employment and when it's not.
Yes. Number four, the employer has a duty of care to ensure the safety of employees. Allocate a person to oversee potential hazards at the event, such as wet floors, excessive alcohol consumption, etc. The employee may offer transport home from the event to ensure safety.
I think that's a very good tip. And if there was a fifth suggestion, it would be don't refer to a colleague as Coconut Man. Just a quick question, Tim. I'm mindful that the case in question involved Aldi. If you do get dismissed from Aldi, do you need to pack your own bags?
It would seem so.
Tim, thank you so much for taking us through that. And thank you to all of you who have watched throughout the year. Please stay tuned and enjoy a couple of the outtakes from our podcasts during the year. We look forward to joining you in 2019. But from all of us at VHAA, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Around, and then tell me, what do you see?
I see you behind a picture frame.
So you've given us your answer, I see you, but that's incorrect, Daniel. The correct answer is, you see me. And that brings us to today's subject. Sorry.
You can get yourself. How do you even come up with that?
Can we take it from the top? Yeah. Do you want to...
I'm sorry, I was... Oh, my word.
There's safety earmuffs.
Safety earmuffs. And which suggests what subject?
Public holidays matrix.
That's very good.
Except that I'll tell you anyway.
Happy with your own work there.
I call it a win.
Indeed. Just happy with your artwork.
This is why they brought me back here. It's going all too smoothly before.
Joining me for this week's discussion is workplace relations consultant Yvonne Urbis. Welcome, Yvonne.
Welcome. Oh no. Sorry, start again. Welcome. What am I saying? Welcome. I should say thank you.
We're keeping that.
No, we're not. Jesus.
That brings us to today's discussion, how to have difficult meetings.
Great.
The maintenance agreement, the doctors in training agreement, the specialist agreement, and then lastly we've got the maintenance.
I think we may have covered maintenance, but it deserves to be counted twice. So she has to list
it's
the agreements
so
again. You're doing tremendously well. We should have run some kind of counter down the bottom. One, two,
well, I'm
three,
gone,
four. Cross out four.
I don't know. Should I do this under the table?
And the maintenance.
Yeah, and the maintenance.
In practical terms, which agreements so far have an SDPP?
So far, there's 8 agreements. So we've got the nurses' agreement.
Sorry, you're counting. I just thought you were thinking in your head. That's one. Is that what you did?
Did I move my lips?
No, your head. You were like, that's one? Sorry.
Agreements have an SDPP.
So far, there's 8. So we've got the... just, I don't know, it's like, yes.
I avoided eye contact.
I know, but then you're like, yep, that's one. I'm going to stop thinking that. Sorry.
An SDPP so far.
I'm sorry, I need to refresh. Can I have a water?
You've got one right there.
Mine, yeah.
Offering them water or refreshments.
Cover support bus.
Do what you just did.
Yeah, all right. Well, I was joking last time. It's all fun and games. Is this? Are we ready?
God, say action.
All right.
We're gonna really.
Just wait, no, you just need to give me a moment.
We're both gonna start laughing for the next 3 hours.
No, we're actually okay.
Yeah, we're not gonna leave till 8 o'clock tonight.
No, we're okay. Welcome to the weekly update. All right, I got there. It's okay. My hand, palms are sweaty.
Mom, spaghetti.
This is so hard.
Yes, there are a few, including the immunisation and vaccination rates, so improving those, improving patient.
Right.
So based on that clue, can you guess what the topic is for today?
If it's Baker Street, it has to be food services.
No, that's a pretty poor guess. Does it? Can I keep going?
That was really harsh. That was really harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I reckon it was a good guess.
Yeah.
Baker Street Food Services.
Yeah, no, we'll go from your response.
Like, you're like, that was shit. Get out.
You're dead wrong.
Dead.
Okay. So now I've got to remember.
Usually Stuart says, you know, nice try, but unfortunately you are wrong.
So Daniel, I'm going to bring out the Stuart one-liner. You couldn't be more wrong. But you couldn't be more wrong, but I'll let you know what it is. Sorry, you couldn't be more wrong, but it is still related.
Jeez, you're so pointed. You couldn't be more wrong. Try and say it with just a little bit of a smile.
No, I am. Look, I feel like sometimes I like do it funny, and then you got to keep a straight face. But now I don't have to.
No, so.
Sorry, Daniel. You couldn't be more wrong. Yeah, I'm going to take one of Stuart's one-liners.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Today, you still couldn't be more wrong. You couldn't be more wrong.
The clue.
Because you couldn't even guess the brand of the model of the car.
That's not addictive.
No. You couldn't be more wrong. But the topic today is related to the Baker Street song by Jerry Rafferty, Baker Street, which has the most all-time greatest sax riff. Would you like to take another guess?
No, you don't ask me to take another guess.
No. What is it, Sione Val? Vi.
Vi.
Sione. Is it Sione?
I don't know.
There you are. All right, you ready?
All right.
Which brings us to another case, which is a decision in the Sione Vi versus Aldi store of 2008.
You
want to go again?
Sorry,
thank you for that
feedback.
No problem. Don't worry.
Prompted by bar staff cutting him off from alcohol and calling him a coconut man.
Sorry, I lost it to coconut man. Coconut man.
The applicant was prompted by bar staff cutting him off from the alcohol.
Oh, I'm having trouble getting past coconut man.
I didn't even say it, you read ahead.
I know. And we were doing so well.
Yes, the applicant was summarily dismissed after he threw a glass of alcohol at another employee.
That was you this time.
Was prompted by bar staff cutting him off from alcohol and calling him a coconut man. We can't smile at all that way.
We'll get it.
It was alleged that the applicant was prompted by bar staffing, but...
By bar
staffing. See where we're at. Look what's happening. This reminds me of the short shift incident from 2017. Cut off alcohol, you're in trouble, are you?
I'm fine.
Cutting him off from alcohol and calling him Coconut Man. Coconut Man, it's not funny. Coconut Man. Coconut Man.
Is anyone else thinking of the song The Lime and the Coconut?
Oh, yeah. I can hear it.
Hello?
Oi, what are you having for lunch? What are you eating?
Clearly he doesn't do sign language like my mom.